10-8 BDF. Man, my windows are fogged on the inside today. Did you let it idle for a bit? A little, but not long enough. It's all on the inside. Thinking it was on the outside, but weird. So I don't know what conditions lead to that, but these cars have been the weirdest. These Ford Escapes, I've got two of them. I've got the work one and I've got mine, and they're both the worst cars for frosting up windows. I don't know what it is, something about the angle or the cab design or something, but they're just terrible. I noticed not specifically just to the Escapes, but all those compact SUVs, like my Trailblazer, got even my wife's Acadia a little bit. My mom had an Escape. The smaller motors take, it seems like, forever for the cabin to warm up, for that heater to kick in. I don't know if it's just the displacement or the heat generated or what, but that was one thing I noticed. It takes a bit for them to heat up and thaw out. I don't know what's going on with traffic today, man. I'm just now hitting 32. It's terrible Tuesday. Yeah, I don't know. These things are just, they frost over, and then I got that windshield washer solvent that's supposed to be good to minus 20 or minus 30. It's something ridiculous. And if I squirt it, the whole window flashes over. So I don't know. I've tried several different brands, and it's like, it doesn't matter if it's freezing or below. If I squirt my window and hit my wipers, it'll flash over, you know, and fog over. So I don't know what's going on there. I thought you were supposed to be able to use that stuff in the sub-zero weather. It wouldn't freeze. I've been using the purple stuff the last few winters, and it's been all right, but I don't know, if your windshield's not defrosting, well, that means that windshield's not heating up a whole lot either, though, so maybe the wind chill factor is freezing it. I don't know, that's too much science for me this early. Well, I'm clear now. Just have to get rolling a little bit. Is it cleared enough to drive, and now it's perfectly clear, so. Anywho, that's that. Anything else new and exciting? Nope, not yet. I ordered a cable and antenna yesterday, so I'm trying to figure out how I can get it on the highest peak of my house, which is probably about 30 feet up. I hate heights, and I would need like a 28-foot extension ladder to do it, and then the thought of soldering the connector that high up there sounds god-awful. So, see if I can sweet talk one of my buddies into that, and for the time being, it's going to go in the attic. Can't you put the connector on first? I know, you want the hole to be just the size of the coax so you could feed it in from the outside with the end already done, down on the ground where it's comfortable. Yeah, I probably could just terminate it in the attic and then maybe try to sneak it out the soffit or something. I don't know. I'm trying to avoid, especially that high up, right? Like, it's not going to be serviceable. So I'm trying to just make it as bulletproof as I can. Like even the mast I bought for the attic, I don't think I would trust that to go outside permanently. I would buy a different one, spend a little bit more money. Oh no, whether you're going to go in or out, it's not really the thing. But if you are going to go out, yeah, do all the connectors and stuff on the ground and then feed the coax in. Now, if you do it later, then yeah, you'd have to pull all the coax back and then refeed it. So that's probably what you're talking about, because, you know, it's silly to do the connector in the air. K8RUH. So my plan is I ordered 55 feet of LMR 400. I'm going to, and where I'm going to put it in the attic is in the exact same location as where the peak, if it goes outside, is going to be. So I'm going to just kind of span the LMR in the attic, feed up the excess slack, leave it terminated at my desk in a wall plate, and through the header and all that. So at any point it does go outside, all I have to do is disconnect it and then feed it outside and mount it. So, and I'll shorten the cable at that point too. But yeah, I ordered enough to put it where I want to if it does end up going outside. And I kept it under, you know, my last run of my old house was 75 feet, and I was able to do all kinds of crazy crap with that. So we'll see what happens. Go ahead, Anthony.
Good morning. Glad to see the plans are coming along for the dual band antenna. You may find it doesn't come soon enough for the weather tomorrow, but I think you'll use it a little bit more than you think you will.
Yeah, I think he's going up in the attic first, so weather shouldn't be a big problem. So that'll work. See how it does for you. It might make all the difference in the world just getting a little something with some gain up a little bit in the air, whether it be in or out. You'll have the major stuff knocked out, so that's cool. Anyhow, DX Engineering, you should probably have it today, no? I would have had it today, but originally I ordered an X200 that's 8.5 feet tall, and I'm pretty sure it would fit my attic, but I didn't feel like dealing with the return process and all that crap if it didn't, so I just played it safe and called them and said, hey, give me the GP3 instead, and I had the price match to HRO too, so I got it for $89 versus the X200, that was like $130, so, and I like the single piece. When it does go outside, that's I know probably doesn't make any difference. But, so, that's for delivery tomorrow.
I think you'll like that antenna. I have the GP6, I think it's the 6, on my roof, and it has treated me very well over time.
I've got a, I forget what it is, GP15 tri-bander with 6 meter. Got one of those. Got two of those, actually. One's on the ground. I got a replaced one that's in the air. It's giving me some trouble. But it's worked great, you know, for 2 and 440. I use it a little bit for 6, not a lot. Usually when Don and Catherine would do that 6 meter net. But there ain't a whole lot else going on down there. And I play around with it a little bit on FT8. Surprisingly well there, when you get those E openings and stuff in the summer. No need to do that at this point. It's kind of a toy, you know, or not a toy, but kind of a splurge getting 6 meter. And a 6 meter vertical, so it's a limited use, so. I think it complicates the antenna in ways that you don't really need to do. So, but point is, Comets are pretty good. Comets and Diamonds both pretty good antennas. NABDF. I've had good luck with my, there's an accident on 53. Where's the other vehicle? I've had good luck with my Comets and my HDs. And then my last dual bander that I had at a house was an X50 from Diamond, and I think blew all my expectations out of the water, so I figured if I go even bigger than that, I'll probably be fine. But I was texting Dave yesterday, like, if I can just hit Romeo Richmond and, maybe sneak over to Lapeer if that ever comes back up, and or anything in Flint, I'd be completely satisfied. I don't expect to talk all over the world with this thing.
Yeah, it'll be nice for you to be able to reach out a little bit. I don't think it's unreasonable expectations to hit the ones that you're trying to hit. So That'll be good to be able to hit them analog, not with the nose.
Can you hear Flint repeaters where you're at? I mean, you're far enough up, but you got that hilly terrain there that runs between this area and that area. You're kind of like right there in it. So are you able to hear any of the Flint machines while you're out running around the mobile?
You know, I haven't tried, but next time I'm out and about heading to a pier or something, I'll definitely scan those and see if I can pick them up or get into them. I don't see why I wouldn't be able to. I think I'm 25 minutes from Flint, and I know some of those repeaters are on the south side, if I'm correct. There's a whole bunch of them. But I know I can hear Lapeer from my house, or I could hear Lapeer from my house. Yeah, I'll have to try that. I never really paid any attention to that. Like I said, I don't talk to anyone over there. I don't know anything about them. But just to say I can would be cool. Like my old house, I could get into the red fence, which blew my mind. But if you think about the elevation, it's kind of not that hard to do.
Sorry, guys, I got distracted. I was shocked that my tire sensor light was no longer on, but it's because I have another set of wheels in my car with tire sensors in it, so totally different topic. Get back to the antenna.
Yeah, regarding that hitting a REM send, if you look at the topography in Macomb County, it's like it's just a real slow rise from the south end to the north end, and nothing steep or nothing. You know, unless you get way over to the northwest, then it starts to get a little bit of that moraine over where you are. But Armada, you know, and all that stuff, just very, very just gradual elevation rise going that way. So we've had to play that ever since this my entire career. We played that with some success, and it's always good for the north hearing from the south, which is good because we're south of most of our stuff up there. But going the other way, trying to hear from up there can be tricky. You wouldn't understand. You think it'd be reciprocal, right? It doesn't seem to be.
That's why I'm more motivated to get it outside on that peak. That should get me to about 900 feet to the top of the antenna, above sea level, obviously. My house is at 866. That peak is probably about 30 feet up, and then it's a 6-foot antenna, 7-foot antenna. So it'd be pretty damn close to 900. I'd be curious how that does, but I am not interested in climbing up there.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of heights. I'm not necessarily afraid of them, but I'm not comfortable with them. So I understand your feelings about that.
Well, I'm petrified of them. I can't work on ladders at all. If you get the right one, like you get these one with hooks that'll actually hook on something, you know, I'm better. But I get really bad on ladders. Just can't function. So even if I can get up them, I can't let go to do anything when I get up there. So yeah, I'm count me out for ladders. That's for sure. I picked a weird line of work to be afraid of heights.
My hands get all tingly and crap when I look down. I hate it. I mean, I can do like a 12-foot ladder. That's about the extent of my, all right, I'm comfortable with this. Once they start getting up in these janky scissor lifts and crap that I'm 30 feet up in the air, then I'm like, okay, I hate every second of this. Maybe not 30 feet, 20 feet. But a buddy of mine has a genie boom. Just unfortunate he's like an hour and 20 minutes away because that would be ideal. It's one of the big four-wheel drive ones. Huge basket, totally comfortable workout. Him and I have both been in it, hanging an 80-inch TV 20 feet up in the air. So that would be about the only way I would do it. I don't think I would just, my one buddy who used to do a carpentry, now he's management, and he was like, dude, just climb up on your roof and lean over. I'm like, absolutely not.
My problem getting on roofs is the dismount from the ladder and remount to the ladder. While I'm on the roof, I don't have a problem. But that transition, it is just so much fear. It's unreasonable, and I know it. But I've got on and off roofs a million times, and nothing's ever happened, but yet I still have a wild fear of it.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst part, man. That's where things can go wrong, things can slip. That's where, you know, in your mind. That's why if you get one of the ladders that hooks in, you know, and you got a roof that lends itself to that, you know, it adds a lot of confidence. But, you know, then you get to the top of the ladder, it just, you know, moves a little bit, even if it's just a little shake, you know, not even a real move, it just freaks the mind out. Yeah. And, you know, a bucket, you know. I've thought about that. If I get a tower up, you know, I could get something up to 40, 50 feet. And you can hire a bucket. You know, you can rent a bucket and get up to that height. And buckets aren't bad. You can work in those pretty well. I'm still a little skittish, but, you know, but most anybody can go up in a bucket. And, you know, so if you had a freestanding tower that didn't crank down, and you were somebody like myself that just couldn't do climbing or aerial work, you know, as long as you were prepared to, you know, rent a bucket every now and again when you want to swap things out or if you have a problem, then it's pretty doable. I mean, the best method is crank up, tilt over, you know, then you can just bring it right down to the point where land lubber can deal with it.
I got an electrician buddy that said he's not afraid of heights and that he'll give me a hand as long as it's not cold, wet, rainy, or snowy. And I said, okay, I think I can live with that. And then I just remembered I've got another buddy that works for a decently large electrical company, and I'm pretty sure they have bucket trucks. So I wonder what it would take for me to get him over for an hour to be like, hey, take me up there in this thing for 15 minutes so I can terminate this and screw this to the side of the house.
Buddy's request seemed reasonable. I don't like being cold, wet, or in snow either, so especially when doing favors.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of that weather coming up, so there you go. No harm, no foul. What's you keep talking about terminating it outside. Why is that? Because you don't want the hole as big as the connector, so and you'll you have to feed from the inside out? Is that why?
Well, no, I guess not, because I could, let me think here. Yeah, I could just cut to one end, pull the cable out like you said. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Pull the cable out, and then leave the terminated end outside and feed the cut end down, and then terminate. Yeah. What a dumbass.
No, I was just, the only reason I brought it up is that if you got up on a ladder and you were struggling, you know, you could just minimize the things you have to do up there, the tedious, you know, part about putting up a connector. And also, you know, you can screw them up. And if you're up there all compromised and worried about the, you know, being up there, you know, just eliminate that factor. The rest is all just mechanical. But the other thing, too, is if you don't want to rerun the cable, you could make a small jumper that just gets you inside. And, you know, that one could be done on the outside and all connected up, taped up the whole nine yards. And then when you get up to the top and mount it, you just run that short piece in. And then on the inside, you put a connector in on and do a barrel. A very small, you know, fraction of a dB, you know, cost for a connector. And being right up there near the antenna, it has much less impact, that fraction of a dB. But you could do that as well if you didn't want to, you know, pull your... If your cable was a real tough pull, You didn't want to go pulling that all out to run it back the other way.
Go ahead, Dakota. No, the cable pull should be pretty damn easy. It's straight up from my desk into the attic, and then I'm where I need to be, and it's all wide open, and shouldn't be too difficult to get up there. I'm trying to think. There's actually already a hole cut. I don't know where it's at. I gotta get back in there this afternoon and look. But yeah, no, that's a good idea. I don't know why I was thinking I had to reinvent the wheel. Because now that I can do that, I can literally just have everything ready on the ground, have it mounted to the mast, have it screwed in, have the antenna put together to where I just have to literally hand it up to whoever, or I have to just screw in the mast and then feed the wire inside, and then I'm done.
Sean must be getting coffee now.
No, I thought the rotation had you next, but I am just getting to the point where I'm going to get coffee. But that's the key. Just, you know, there's the part of it that the acrobatics that you don't want to do. Just make sure everything you can have done on the ground, where you're sure-footed, where you can, you know, inspect everything carefully. Just make sure all that's done down on the ground so that you have the absolute minimum that you have to do in the air. And so there you go. Very good. Now, I am turning in the Starbucks here, so I'm going to be, you know, if I'm at the window when it comes around to me, if I don't pick it up when it comes back to me, then you'll know I'm either at the window or chatting with the barista who likes to chat me up every morning. She's, oh, man, what the hell's going on? Oh, no, okay. I thought there was a big old line. Anywho, yeah, get it all, everything you possibly can done on the ground in advance so that you make your big job less of a craziness. I'm at the window. W8FU.
Dakota, how hard are those connections to terminate? I think I need to get the tools to do that. I need to get a switch, like so that I could have my antenna run to the garage and down into the basement, so that I could run two different radios, obviously one at a time, and then be able to use my rooftop antenna in the garage or the basement.
I double with you a bit there, but yeah, I'm trying to think what the easiest way for you to do that would be. Go ahead.
They make switches, like a toggle switch that I could put on the wall in the garage and switch it over. I don't know. I think I've seen that in the past.
Sean will know.
For sure. Are those men difficult to put out?
Through the window. No, dude, that's the best thing I ever taught myself how to do was crimp my own ends, because now I can buy good cable for, like, a fraction of the price. LMR 400, I forgot what it was for a 50-foot run of terminated LMR 400 was, like, $150, and I think I'm doing it for 89.
Okay, yeah, that's nice. And I can't remember what, I think I have LMR 400. I can't remember. I'd have to go look, and hopefully it's printed on the cable somewhere. But yeah, I remember the cable that I bought, it's definitely longer than I need, so if I can cut it, I have more than enough extra cable to do what I need if I learn how to terminate it.
Okay, I'm just hopping back in, and I don't know the subject. So, carry on. I'll figure it out next go-around. The only thing I can say is if you're going to order the crimper and all that crap, just order the set. It's cheaper in the long run. EXE's got a really nice set that works really freaking well. And I bought the RG8X1. because I was just doing it for HF. And then for this antenna, I was going to buy LMR 240 because it uses the same crimp die and the same connectors as RG8X. But I was like, if I'm doing this, I'm going to do it right. So I ended up having to buy the LMR 400 ends, die, and obviously the cable. So if you're going to do it, just buy the set that comes with all the dies, and then you can terminate whatever the hell you want.
Cool, I'll have to look at that when I decide to actually do it. Sean, when I was talking, I was asking Dakota if there's a way, and I think I've seen switches that do this, that I could take the antenna that's on my roof into, like, a switch and put, then run a cable, antenna cable to a radio in my garage and then a radio in my basement, and just switch it back and forth depending on what radio I'm working on.
Oh, absolutely. Those are common as dirt. Good ones, not cheap. The Daiwas are real nice. Diamond makes some, I think. But, yeah, those are pretty common. And you could just, you know, have it flipped. Yeah, I'm assuming you're talking about you have one antenna on the garage, and you want to flip it between two different radios, either in the garage or in the house. And, yeah, you could do that with a switch. You probably can get an automated one, so you could do it, well, I know they got some that'll sense RF, but those might get crazy. I'd have to look into that to see. But, for sure, yeah, when they could remotely switch with a relay, you know, a little electricity, and a switch, so if you're in the basement, you said, damn, I'm going to grab the antenna, hit the button.
You say not cheap. What is something like that? You say, just something decent to get into it. You're talking $100 or $200, $300.
I think a decent switch could be had for for $100, give or take.
That's not bad. Over to you, Dakota.
I am at the office. Are you guys going to be around this afternoon? I'm out at 4 today, but Sean, I think Romeo's been a little cattywampus, and I wanted to test it with you. I've noticed in the last couple days, or last couple times I've been on it, it just seems like there's a weird noise. I, at first I thought it was my mobile antenna, but then it doesn't do it on other repeaters, so I just wanted to test it with someone on my way home. I will, there's a good chance I'll be out here then, but it's hard to say. I usually leave around 3:30 or so, so if I'm on the road at 4, depending on where I'm going. But let's see here. Got it, sure. Here we go. Anywho, I'm at work here parking, and I will look for you then. W8FU.
All right, gentlemen, I'll catch up with you later this afternoon. Dakota, I will likely be on sometime between 4:15 and 4:30, so if I'll call out if you're out there, we'll talk. This is KERUH.
All right, guys, sounds good. NADBF.
Hey, Date One. WAEAP. KEATFM, WAEAP.
KFA, DRC, radio check.
KFA, DRC, this is KFA, DBZ. You're coming through 5x9.
Thank you. Yeah, I just was checking this radio is going to work or not. But it's doing a good job. Thank you again. Take care. Have a good day. KFA, DRC.
You're welcome, Jack. Anytime. KFA, DBZ monitoring.
Mobile monitoring.
KE8VSI mobile. Where's lunch?
I need CLH for the radio check.
Yes, sir.
I need CLH and a KPP.
KPP.
Well, he said that beater radio, that XTL, is an amazing radio for as old as it is. You definitely don't want to drop that puppy on your toes.
Okay, am I here? Should be. Yes, they are bulletproof. I think we'll be seeing those in service for many years to come.
Okay. I hit it on Phil's repeater for some reason. Okay, I'm here better. Okay. Yeah, it was quite amazing, little radio. Although, you can't update the firmware in it without a special key, but that's okay. It's at, like, 2005, and I think the highest it goes is 2009, so I don't think I want to hassle with that. And plus all the super secret blogs say don't do it unless you have to, because about 20% of them, when you try to flash them, turn into bricks. So I'm going to leave well enough alone.
Well, this is weird. I can't adjust the volume on my radio. Very strange.
What radio are you chatting on?
Hold on, give me a minute to try to figure this out.
Lunch at 25 in Van Dyke in about 20 minutes, if anybody's close or interested.
I have to head towards Port Huron. Going to meet Sean at Olga's at 23 and crash it, and then I have to head north. I got to go check the voltage on an air compressor.
Ah, Very good. All right, well, maybe next time, just throw it out there. Okay, E8BSI.
Yeah, you're a little far west for the today's plan. I am procrastinating everything I have to do today, so that would even make it more procrastination. And I told the guy I would be there today, so I have to do it. And AKPP, in case anybody cares, and Sean's radio wouldn't adjust the volume, so my guess is he's probably rebooting it or redoing something to it.
No, it's all jacked up. It's like I've got no volume controls at all. And, you know, I know the encoder's working because it'll go through the menu just fine, and it'll do some other things, you know, some alternate things, but I can't control the volume at all. The volume's stuck on both, and it's both encoders, top band and bottom band. So I'm all jacked up. I just had the thing in for service. I just got it back. I wonder if somebody was monkeying with it.
Is this a Yaesu?
Yeah.
Just something about the FBI network and Yaesu radio. I'm starting to see a pattern. Greg, go ahead.
Well, I've got a Yaesu as the rock solid on this network and all the other ones since I got it. No issues whatsoever. But I do hear what you're saying. There are others that have had issues. I think Sean, if he sticks with it long enough, he'll figure out how to operate his radio, you know, being a newbie and all.
I think they did something. Because the control head's been tightened up and the cable... where I had tucked is loose. They absolutely monkeyed with it.
Who is they?
The service center. I just had it in for service. They definitely had been monkeying with it. There's no question about it.
Didn't quite hear you, Wally, but we'll just take a turn here. Sean, what was it in for service for? And are you talking about your 500?
Yeah, my 500. I can't adjust the volume on either band. Although the encoders work fine, and when I switch to squelch, it won't adjust squelch either. But if I go to menu, the encoders work just fine. The bottom encoder is changing channel on the lower band. The upper one is doing nothing. But if I go to menu, the upper one works just fine. It scrolls through the menu. So the encoders themselves are working, but... they're not doing what they're supposed to. Volume is just stuck. I can't adjust volume or squelch. And, and I went in for, I needed to get the oil changed and, you know, multi-point inspection, all that crap. Just regular whatever crap that it has to go in for.
Wow, well, that's kind of aggravating. The first thing I would suspect is the cable between the radio and the head. Reseat both ends and or try a different cable. From what I've understood, a Cat 5 or better cable works on those. I don't know that for 100% certain, but I think I've heard that a couple of times from a couple of different people. At least reseat it both ends and try from there.
Yeah, I haven't yet. You know, I'm driving. I don't have any time to look at anything right now. All I can tell is that they had tightened things up there because I used to be able to turn it a lot easier, and now it's been tightened up, and the cable was pulled out of the, where I had it tucked. I think the thing he was monkeyed with. So, I don't know. But obviously, I'll check all those things when I can. Just making me scratch my head what's going on. All right, I'm turning on 23.
All right, well, good luck with it. I'm sure you'll figure it out and keep us posted. More fun with Gazoo. Woo-hoo. I'm heading a little bit west. I don't know if you heard, but 25 in Van Dyke, I'm meeting KEZ Dave for lunch. So, there you have it. KE8BSI. Wally, go ahead if you're done. If not, Sean.
All right, Sean. I'm in the parking lot, so I'll see you shortly, and that radio's awful loud.
I didn't hear what you just said. That radio's something. All right, I'll be there shortly.
Yeah, it's odd, because Sean's coming to me a little bit on the loud side, and Wally's coming to me a little bit more on the quiet side.
Now, I'm on UMP, which is grossly misadjusted, sick. No.
All right, well, that explains Sean. But still, either way, while he was quiet. Good afternoon, Dave. What's going on?
So we were doing lunch. I would have made the trip, but I was away, so I didn't hear the call for lunch.
Oh, you got two choices. You could meet Sean and Wally pretty quickly at 23 and Gratiot, or me and KZ Dave at about 10-15 minutes, 25 in Van Dyke, and we would wait for you.
Yeah, say that. No, it's okay. I got to eat these stupid factor meals. I'm piled up on them, so. But another time.
All right, very good. KEZ-VFI.
All righty then. WKFU.
KE8VSI Mobile. KE8VSI, we heard you just kind of barely though. It didn't sound right.
I was talking a little quiet. How does this sound? This is my normal voice. Well, not really. But this is.
All right, there you go. All good.
W8RJD in the mobile.
NAKPT Wadhams Road in I-94, exit 262 for a coverage report.
You are hitting it very well, KE8VSI.
Yeah, I had my volume turned all the way down. I had a bunch of phone calls I had to make, and the little bars were up, so I saw somebody talking. So I figured I'd turn that volume back up and see how she works up here. So doesn't do too bad. So Sean, I said the Richmond repeater seems to do, at least my observations, it does better north than it does south with the antenna. And he says, well, he's happy with that. So that's good.
Know why?
Who'll be that? NAKPP.
I said, you know why? I'm happy with it working to the north. I'm going to try to do this best I can. Take off to the great white north.
There you go. That's it. John's looking for coverage, so when he moves up here.
You hoser.
Yeah. Was that Kids in the Hall, or was that, what was that?
A pair of brothers, I think. I don't remember.
Bob and McKenzie.
Yeah, right, Bob and Doug McKenzie. That was that Bill and Ted in another skit? Not Bill and Ted, God darn it. From Son of a Gun. They were also more famous as another dynamic duo. God darn it. Wayne and Garth, was that the same two guys, just different skit?
I doubled.
Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, but I don't remember what show that was.
Alright, yeah, it could have been Second City, who knows? Kids in the Hall, who knows? But everybody remembers, you know. Bob and Doug McKenzie take off to the Great White North. But, now that site, going back to seriously, though, that site was, my intention was always to push out toward Port Huron. And, so, you know, if it's working good north and east, then I'm tickled pink.
I'm at exit 266 in Marysville exit right now. So I should be doing still fairly well.
Yes, you are. So, Dave, where'd you go for lunch? I think I might have doubled. Dave, where'd you guys go for lunch?
Doug and Bob McKenzie were on SCTV.
So there you go, it was Second City. Hello, Donald.
Don't mind me, I'm just sandbagging. WARCY.
Dave and I went to Leo's Coney Island for lunch.
Roger. All right, Greg. I knew you'd answer, but trying to get Dave. He's out here so little. Just can't get him to communicate. Can't get him to operate.
Operator, would you help me make this call? Hey, I'm back. KZ8Z. That's my singing. I just pulled in the garage, so I had to come in the house.
Don't worry about it now, man. I want to know where you guys went to eat, but Greg answered. Greg did your heavy lifting for you.
Oh, great. Now I owe him once again. I'll put it on the list. Put it on my account. An account, I just never get anything. yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, we had the, we went out and ordered the exact same thing. The waitress was horrible, but the salad was good. We ate a couple of salads like real men.
Oh, food that food eats. All right, I got to go inside the Kroger's here, get a couple of odds and ends. We'll have to try to all connect when we're out that way. Wally had someplace he had to go, so we had to keep it over on our side of town today. Otherwise, we might have joined you, but sounds like a wiener anyhow. All right, I'm going to check out here and go do my little grocery shopping run. W8FU, Greg.
All right, sounds good. I am transitioning to the house. Be back shortly. KZSI.
Cool, Greg. Give me a few minutes. I want to try and troubleshoot that light switch, and then I'll be back. KZ8Z.
Roger.
I-69, I-94. A quarter of Unity at guys all have a good day. N-A-K-A. Not a good day to go to Canada, people. Just backed up 2 miles on I-94 before you even get to Port Huron. FYI.
Got some fading in and out there, but you're still hitting it.
No, as long as I'm stuck in this traffic, I'm going to take it. Works better than my team.
Oh my God, who are the lazy cart people? Just can't walk 10 feet to put a cart in a rally, in the corral.
There's lots of them.
And it's a pet peeve of mine, because, not because it's such a big deal, but just because it's so myopic and piggish and just totally unaware of the world around you. Just these people are the worst. I think people that don't return their, if I ever see you doing it, I'm going to dress you down for it, because that's the worst human beings on earth. They think of nothing but themselves.
Let's see, Motorola.
You are at the end of your rope, Wally. Yeah, we're a little spotty in the North Port Huron, so you might be hearing it, but not quite making it. Even Motorola watts can't make that trip.
Right.
What's up, Steve Areno?
Dream.
I don't know if we got something going on in our neighborhood like yours, but I just saw, you know those wire reindeers that they wrap in lights and put out? There's two of them next to a telephone pole down my street, not associated with any house.
See, it's catching on. I'm a trendsetter.
There you go. All right, I just backed in the driveway. I got to get it out and get inside and all that good stuff. I'll be back on in a few minutes. W8FU.
Hanging security cameras again today, so I'll be in and out. N8NM.
There's more than one way to skin a cat in 8K, PP.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can use cellular, too.
But like my 3,000 mile radio last week.
Yeah, you got me beat. I'm only in Port Huron.
You don't have to say, like, you're in the other country. Like, I think if I was actually going over the airwaves over there, I'd have to do M stroke KF8S or something like that. But because, like, the RF isn't coming out until you get to the U.S., I think you'd use my normal call sign. Or, the, you know, just, like, you're supposed to be.
You're not in there very good, but hey, it's okay though. I gotta get out of here. You might have your power down a little bit too low. All right, chat later. NAKPP, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Is that right?
All right, I'll clear. I gotta get a better antenna on this radio anyways. KF8S.
KF8DDA, KF8 Bravo Papa Alpha Mambo. KF8DDA, sound check. KF8DDA, sound check.
Hey Vladimir, you sound great. KZ8.
Thank you.
Hi, Vladimir, WATIK Mobile.
W8VIJ, Greg, good afternoon. I am mobile too. I'm on Orchard Lake and close to Maple. Where are you, my friend? KF8BDA for W8VIJ.
Highland Road and Crescent Lake. Highland Road and Crescent Lake. Over.
Highland Road. Okay, I got you. Roger that. Okay, have a nice walk, Greg. I'm at work. KF8BDA will be monitoring.
Well, nope, I'm driving. I'm in the car. 73-WATIJ.
1 second, Greg. I'm going to transmit from the other radio. I need your help to check my sound out.
Yeah, go ahead. I can wait. You got some kind of buzzing in your transmission during the audio. Zero audio, Vladimir. Zero audio, and it sounds like some sort of distortion coming into the repeater. Over.
Okay, got you. Okay, I said, drive safely. KF8BPA will be monitoring.
Okay, I copy you now. Yep, 73. WATIJ. Mobile, Waterford, Michigan.
W-8-E-A-P.
Eric's in the house. Hey, Eric. KZ-8.
Yeah, I'm in the house. I'm gonna be like you. I'm only going to be out here for a couple minutes. I'm just going to run up here and get some pizza. Just kidding. How's it going?
Good. I just had the smallest project I'll work on today, maybe this week. I had a USB port that had something in it on my MacBook, and I couldn't plug a USB power cable into it. I'm like, something's in there. So I grabbed a toothpick and got out whatever was plugged in there. I don't know what it was. And that was it. Blew a little air in there, and that project's done. Wow. I'm like, geez, I'm going to have to take a rest. Almost pulled a hammy. Now, I'm just about to reach out to Greg. We're going to try and get set up for that pole-to-pole SSTV thing that's happening. And I haven't done SSTV in a long time, and the first and only time I tried it, it failed. So I'm going to try and follow Captain Don's lead here on his video and get this set up, and Greg and I are going to try and do that.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I saw videos on YouTube of ways to get crud out of, well, it was the bottom of a cell phone. It's probably USB-C. I don't know if you're talking about USB-C or regular USB, but yeah, you put something in there, some kind of like a putty or something, or wasn't hot glue, because that wouldn't come out, but it was something, it's like a putty they jammed in there, then they pulled the putty out. I forgot what the putty was, and then it pulled out the crap with it, so. Well, the IT guys at my work years ago said no thumb drives, so they literally filled all the USB ports with hot glue, so we couldn't put nothing in, which is kind of weird.
Wow. Well, there's a mechanical solution. Never heard of that. Jeez, just fill them in. Well, at least nowadays they have ways to prevent that. I used to work at a bank, and you plug in a thumb drive, and it was just no-go. But it was all, you know, obviously done with apps and software and such. And I know what you're talking about, that goo to clean out stuff. I've seen that, too. It's like, well, it's not silly putty. It's much more gooey than silly putty is. And it's usually like a bright blue or green or something. I've seen people use it to clean keyboards and whatnot, and it's pretty disgusting what comes out of there. I don't think that would have worked on this. I had to pry this little thing out. I bought this MacBook used, so I don't know what the last person had. It almost looked like a bug crawled in there and died, and it was solid, like a little teeny caterpillar or something, but I don't know. When I flung it out, it flew across the room, so I couldn't look at it. I don't know where it's at now, but it's not in there.
Well, 9 times out of 10, it's pocket lint, because a lot of people jam their phones in their pocket. I don't do that. I put mine in a case, and I never put my phone inside the pocket. So zero chance of me getting pocket lint in there, but that's the most common. Anyhow, I'm going to run into the pizza place here and see what kind of slabs they have. I think I'm going to do a breakfast and a chicken barbecue.
Ooh, very nice. Okay. I will be monitoring, but I'm going to be on the phone. I'm going to reach out to Greg on the Cisco and see if we can get this SSTV thing set up. Okay, thanks for the quick chat. 73 KVAZ. W8EAP, Eric, do you copy? You still out there? KZAT. Negative copy. He's got a mouthful of pizza. KZAT clear.
NADBS.
K8RUH.
NADBS.
Hello, hello, sir. How you doing?
Pretty tapped out after today. I wish it was Thursday or Friday or, yeah, one of those days. How about you? Did you get out?
Just got in the car. Feel very similar. I feel like it's been a grind the last few days, and I don't know why.
Tom, how you doing, man? And Anthony, yeah, it's like I just went back to January. It's literally what it feels like. Like, second week of January where I just do not want to do anything.
Go ahead, Tom.
I was just jumping in here, folks. You guys on there. I'm done with the name myself. Been in front of a computer for 2.5 hours. It was just dog slow. Ridiculous.
Sounds like everybody's having the same day. Tom, you're coming in a little rough there. I don't know if you can switch repeaters or whatever, but caught most of what you said, but a little rough.
Well, I'm done doing Detroit off in 94. I'm coming up in the 75-minute range, so I'm expecting closer than Warren, and I'm kind of like to get you a little bit.
Yeah, try again in a little bit here. You're a little, it's almost like you got a little hum, but maybe you're just a little interfered. And I don't know if my hunch about Romeo is right or not, but like, I'm not that far from it, and I got some weird popping. So, I don't know, am I coming in correctly?
Dakota, I can definitely hear some popping when you're talking. It's also better than Tom, but a little bit rough. Not as good as you normally are.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that the last couple days. Romeo's just had, like, where I'm usually full quieting and rock solid, it's had some popcorn in it, and I don't know why. And I'm not even close to town yet to where I should be. I'm only probably 3-4 miles away from the repeater.
Yeah, I can confirm. I'm at home on my fixed radio, fixed antenna, and it's S-nothing. It's usually S2 or S3. So it's something's up. Good observation.
Well, there you go, Dakota, from the horse's mouth.
My wife says
I'm a frequent flyer. What can I say?
You guys doubled. Sean, go ahead.
Oh, I said no, my wife said horse's ass. I'm a horse's ass.
Mine says the same thing.
They must have their own chat room because I hear the same thing.
Well, if I cover the entirety of the meeting, I'm a whole ass.
Oh, anyhow, I'm at home sitting here. I just happened to hear you, so I thought I'd confirm that, but I'm going to get back to what I was doing here. You guys carry on. Drive safe. I will be listening, and if I hear anything interesting, I'll jump in, but I got some things I got to tend to. W8FU.
All right, Sean, thanks for confirming. I'm glad I'm not losing it. I noticed it the last couple of days, and my answer doesn't seem normal. Usually, like right now, I'm rolling into downtown Elmont. This is where it usually gets pretty bad, so if it was bad outside of town, I don't even know if I'm making it in.
Yeah, you're clearly starting to get worse, so
we'll see how far the rope goes.
Cover this here, go back, and we'll hold here on things we need for. I'm not getting a lot of
I don't know if you guys doubled. Tom, I could barely hear you, and I don't know if I was able to hear Dakota or not.
This is just like a hole in downtown Omaha. There's just not good coverage. It's like it's out of it.
Gotcha. I picked that one up, Dakota. Go ahead, get out of your hole, and come on back. I'll be in the car for a while here.
So am I making it in any better than I was? KAZ, radio.
There we go, Tom. You're starting to get better. KE8RUH.
Yeah, I get a little bit of static here and there. Like I said, I'm ready to 9475 interchange, trying to sort of get away from the flow. But the question of the day is, how do you know Chris Cole?
Oh, man, I've known Chris for years. I actually sell a lot of computer components and IT gear to him. So, I don't know, I've probably known Chris definitely longer than 10 years, maybe 15.
That's about as long as I have known him. I've known him since 2007, 2008, somewhere right around there, maybe 2009. Maybe 2009, yeah. My wife used to work for them when he was, whatever that HP printer thing was.
Okay, yeah, he's just been a customer of mine and a customer of my company's for years. And it was funny because the other day he said, hey, I was talking to a buddy and told him about you, and he was like, oh, I got to talk to him. And he's like, his name's Tom. He's had a neck surgery. I said, I know Tom. I talk to him almost every day. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, I talk to him all the time. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I was at 14 in Bandai, 14 in Mounds. No, 14 in Mounds. And I was at a site for a customer, and it was a bus, and nobody was there, and I'm like, I wonder what Chris is doing. So I decided to give him a jingle. I'm like, where are you at? What are you doing? He goes, well, I'm at 14 in Van Dyke. I'm at my warehouse. I'm like, oh, all right, I'm going to stop by. So he gave me the directions and how to get in there, and bumped into him, and sat there, chatted with him for like 2 hours.
That's cool. Chris is a good dude. I like talking to him. I see him probably 3 days a week, 4 days a week.
Yeah, my wife used to work for him one night. And so he did the printer. He did printer repair. And then I think it was like maybe printer repair or something like that. I forgot what it was. And then he got out of that. And then my wife ended up babysitting his son for a while. And then my daughter started babysitting him. We moved out of the area, but kept in touch. He was actually at my son's graduation and my daughter's graduation. He's a cool dude. Always like talking with him.
Yeah, he is a good guy. Hey, I got to take this call. I'll catch up with you in a little bit.
Take care, Joe.
And I am pulling in, and I'm still nice and scratchy, so I'm going to shoot out as well. I'm going to hop on the nose in a bit, though. I'll catch you guys later. NACBS.
Copy that, Coda. I got you. I sent you a DM also on Facebook. Let me thank KKKJ.
K8RUH. No problem. so I am going to be getting out of the car.
That's all right, I'm still driving. I'm over by the airport, so I got a ways to go before I head up into Memphis.
Sounds good. I'll call back out when I get back in the car if I get the opportunity. Otherwise, have a safe trip home, and I will talk to you soon. KE8RUH.
Sounds like a plan. Talk to you on the flip, KTKTO.
Hey, you doing what?
Oh, now I got Lance out there.
Yep, yep, just headed to the Great White North.
I'd stay away from that, there's all that ice up there.
I'm not going that far north, but apparently it's supposed to come tomorrow morning.
It's supposed to have like an elevated risk of severe storms again tomorrow, but it's supposed to be like tomorrow afternoon or something like that. Last I looked.
Yeah, where I'm at tomorrow morning is, you got, ice risk and freezing rain and all that fun stuff, and then, yeah, we get, you know, severe storm risk, too.
I'd like to know who upset Mother Nature's last part.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I'm not sure what it wants to do.
Hey, being what?
Chesterfield.
Sounds like Chesterfield. Is it up 94?
Yeah. It's going from three lanes down to two. You know, because 23 Mile Road, right lane exits on the 23, so that's got to go to M19. But traffic is bumper to bumper to bumper, and I don't know why.
I don't miss that. We worked in Auburn Hills, and we took my kids to the daycare in Berkeley, my cousins. So we had to go to Auburn Hills to Berkeley, and then 696 over to 94 up to Macomb Township. To the big giant loop around the whole city.
I was in Sterling Heights at 14 and Mound, then I went to 6 Mile and Van Dyke, ended up going to 275 in Eureka, and to get done there, I'm driving back to the home, and I got to go over to my neighbor's house with some paperwork so we can go over.
Yeah, you got to go all over today. Take a trip over to Grand Rapids and, up to the bridge, too.
Today, that was last week. Last week, I ended up going to Muskegon, taking care of that, and then we went to Iona, and then we came home. And there was talks about going up to Petoskey this week, but that's a bust because of the ice storms up there. I'm not driving in that slop.
Howard.
Yeah, my mom was just on the phone with me. She said my aunt's up in Rogers City, and she ran out of gas, and doesn't have enough gas to get to the gas station.
Do that now, or that's what you did last week?
What's the plan?
You know, say you said you had to run to Rogers City, so I don't know if you did that last week, or did you do that this week?
Oh, no, I wasn't going there. My aunt lives there, and she's been on her generator, and she's running out of fuel for it. Doesn't have enough gas in the car to get to the gas station, which is an hour away, because all the everything's shut down up there, and she's running out of resources.
Yeah, okay, that's not fun. I got a friend that lives up there. I forgot where they live, but I'm sorry, Chesterfield's blocking off a lane. But they were taking videos saying, yeah, this is our yard, and you just hear the ice crackling and everything else like that, and I think they did lose power.
Yeah, all the Siemens sites up there either don't have internet or don't have power or both. Quite the mess. The pictures of trees that are tops of the trees are touching the ground.
There were some videos on Facebook showing some pretty tall pine trees, and you can see them just bending over, and just before they touch the ground, they just snap. It's like, oh, free lumber.
Yeah, too bad pine isn't very good to burn. You need a good hardwood to do that.
You gotta let it dry out for like 6 months before you can burn it. And it's all green wood.
Yeah. I don't have very many pine trees on my property. They're mostly maples, I think. But, luckily, Luckily, everything stayed in the ground this last round. We'll see about tomorrow.
I'll be waiting your D.
Hello to Eric.
No, I just wanted to say hello. That's all.
Well, welcome to the conversation. Lance and I are just talking about tree stamping and burning firewood, and he has maples, and I have a big old cherry tree in my backyard. Good winds, it'll knock down another branch problem.
I really had nothing by our house. I don't know about the cottage, had a camera on, I didn't see much movement, so. That was just a regular 10 minutes of rain and a little bit of wind by me.
And I just blew my lawn chairs over.
I got wet for about 3 seconds as I ran across the yard, but it rained for really hard for a good 10 minutes, a couple booms, and that was that, nothing more.
And knocked down the Lapeer ham radio tower, VHF tower.
Yeah, surprisingly, the MI6 dish stayed up there. The EF0 was up in Grand Rapids, I guess.
Yeah, Kalamazoo, Caledonia, that area over there in the southwest corner, they got hit pretty hard. I think Lansing got hit hard. But up in Memphis, it was quiet. I think it kind of fizzled out as it came more east. My buddy lives up in North Branch, and it destroyed his trampoline.
And if you had a Harbor Freight canopy, that was gone. That's a given.
Lost the Harbor Freight canopy, is that what you said? Oh.
Yeah, you know, those little canopies. I don't know what you'd call them, awnings. Canopies or whatever they sell at Harbor Freight. There's always videos of them blowing all over the place, along with trampolines. That's another one. Little pop-up tent?
Talk about those little picnic canopies that you put spikes into the ground. You kind of stretch it over a metal frame. They kind of hang around for a bit so somebody sneezes and they blow all over the place.
Yep, if you have one of those, it's going to blow away.
Yeah, he had one of those big trampolines. I think he had sandbags on the base of it with the protective netting go around it, you know, so the kids don't fall off or whatever. Yeah, it blew the netting down and kind of crushed the trampoline. So, yeah, it hit the dust, it rolled across his property. That's about all he lost.
I had a trampoline that had stakes I drove into the ground and strapped it down so it didn't blow away.
This is how Captain Don's bounce house held up.
I stepped on somebody on the round table there. Lance, you still there? Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't catch what you said, but yeah, they were kind of like those dog leash things. They screw them into the ground, and then you had a little strap that goes around the trampoline frame, and the thing never moved. Yeah, I did that when we got our trampoline to their neighbors. they had theirs blow away.
I think my buddy Jeff, I think he's got pulled out of the ground. He's pretty good about tying stuff down, you know. But I think it was just, the wind hit the right way and just grabbed it, lifted it up, pulled the straps out, and just rolled it. And then Park was saying Lapeer lost their VHF tower, snapped that fucker right off the top. Saw that on Facebook. That thing's a mess.
Yeah, that's
going to
be an expensive one.
Yeah, I think they're looking into insurance claims on it, but we'll see how their luck goes with that one. Eric, you still out there?
But you ain't, yeah, I'm just trying to concentrate on driving. People are extremely crazy today, whipping around, cutting, you know, weaving in and out of traffic, speeding, concentrating on driving. It's kind of settled down now that I got north of the auto plants. It's kind of calmed down. Oh, man, take your life into your hand south of 18 Mile.
I was just down there this morning. I was at 14 Mile, and then I had to go up to Auburn Hills. And I'm in the right-hand lane about to jump on the 696, and some doofus in front of me decides, I'm going to turn here. No turn signal, no warning, just slammed on their brakes. I almost hit the driver's rear quarter panel. That would have been an event in itself right there. Idiots, people do not know how to drive at all these days. KCKQ.
No, I'm pulling in. I'll say 73, CDB Lane. Have a good one.
73, Lance, talk in the flip. KCKQ.
I'm just about home, too.
Well, then I'll say 73 to both of you. I still got another 10 minutes. Guys, have a great night. I'll talk in the flip. KCKQ.
W-8-E-A-P.
AAA-UGQ mobile monitoring.
AEA-EFM.
KFA-DSM, KFA-DRC, KFA-DRC clear.
KFA-DRC, KFA-DYL.
KFA-DRC, go ahead, Dan.
Well, how you doing tonight, Jack? What's going on down there?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I don't know. It sounds like a sounds like a storm coming in tonight.
Yeah, we're supposed to get some snow here, but then it's supposed to be 60 degrees later in the day.
That's no good. I mean, that's not going to melt. It's not going to be cold at all.
cooling off right now. It's getting pretty chilly. It's 32 degrees here now. Well, yeah, I think it says we're supposed to get some snow, freezing rain, and then it's supposed to be, front's supposed to come through, get windy, and then be 60-some degrees by 6 p.m. tomorrow. Crazy.
That's why they call it April Fool's Day.
Hey, have you talked to Sheboygan Bob at all up there? Because I guess it's kind of a complete mess in that area. They got 3 days of freezing rain with the high winds. And I guess most of that area is still out of power.
Okay, Ben. I have not done that. And did you get your power back on right now?
Our power is on now, but it literally just came back on. So, you know, we were out for like 18 hours initially, and then it was on most of the evening yesterday, and then it went out again this morning, and it came back on. It's on and off. The internet's been the same way. We have the Spectrum cable internet, which is strung on overhead poles, and it's been working and then not working and then working and then not working. And the hotels in town here in Birch Run are loaded with utility trucks, all from out of state. You know, you can see the names on the sides, like Indiana, Ohio. So they called in their reinforcements to help fix this stuff. But yeah, it seems like a mess.
Sounds like very mess. Well, not yesterday, the day before, Brenton had no power at all till the next day in the morning.
Yeah, you can look at the consumer's energy outage map. It's still showing like 5% of their total customers are out, and considering they cover most of the lower peninsula, aside from the southeast Michigan DTE area there, that seems like a significant number.
Yes, it is. I know that. Let me ask you about internet. Why don't you put a dish? They call it a huge internet. I don't know if this is, it could be done in your house or something like that or not.
Oh, you don't want HughesNet. HughesNet is horrible. I don't know why anybody would sign up for HughesNet. HughesNet is a high Earth orbit. It's 600 milliseconds latency, so you get your download, you can stream stuff, you know, if you want to do that, but if you want to do anything real time, that ain't going to happen. So, you know, trying to work remote desktop, trying to do video, none of that works. I can get Starlink, that's for sure. I actually have Starlink at our place up in the UP there, because that's pretty much the only choice. And Starlink works great, but this is actually the first time the internet's been out this long here. The Spectrum has been pretty outstanding. You know, we get power outages, and occasionally it'll go out for a few hours here or there during that kind of event, but I've never seen this out for going on 3 days now, in and out. Yeah, I mean, it was out for most of the time. It came on a little bit yesterday, and then a little bit today, and then it went out again. Yeah, it's a little abnormal behavior for what I've seen in the past, but it is what it is.
Sometime here, the wow here, sometime the people work on the roads and all that, they hit the cable, they cut the cable, you know what I mean? And wow, they do know where the cable is cut. They go there, but it takes them like 12 hours without internet.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, as far as the satellite internet companies go, HughesNet, I don't know why anybody would be on HughesNet. With Starlink that came in 2020, there's no reason to be on HughesNet because you're only getting download. It does upload, but, with the 600 millisecond latency, you can't do Wi-Fi calling. You can't do anything real time. It can only literally do kind of like, web browsing, email, and that kind of stuff, which is great. And before Starlink came in, that was great. But Starlink being low Earth orbit, 28 milliseconds latency, can't beat it. You can't beat it.
Last year, I was talking to HughesNet. They said they improved it a lot. You know what I mean? And they also have three different satellites that you point the dish on. See, I used to work for a huge network, and I used to fix their boxes. And one day, the guy asked me if I could install that for him. He even gave me $500. I said, no problem. I went out there and called the Hughes. And we got it installed, and that guy was living in Troy, and he wants that satellite for it. They gave it to him for free and everything else, and they didn't charge him for an installation. So I went out there and installed it, and it worked okay, you know what I mean? But then it was not that working okay, so he didn't call me, he called them. I said, you guys go with them, they'll take care of all that for you. I'm not going to do nothing like that. So he called them and everything. But I talked to them last time. They said they improve all that stuff, even the downloads and uploads and all that stuff.
They improve their bandwidth, but they can't overcome the latency problem because they're high Earth orbit. They have three satellites in high Earth orbit. And if you hook it up and do a ping test, you're going to get on the order of 5 to 800 milliseconds, which is not good for doing anything real time. So phone calls, video meetings, gaming, none of that's possible on HughesNet. Download stuff, streaming, email, web surfing, that's all fine. But you can't do anything real time on it, which is a huge, huge problem.
I believe you. That's why I didn't put it. I'm not kidding you, Ken. They were giving that stuff out. Here, we'll install it for you. We even give you 6 months of free with no charge. And after that, we'll charge you like $50. I said, $50? Everybody here is $30. And you got $50?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, like I said, I don't even know how they're still in business after Starlink came in, because once you have a Starlink, that's kind of like a cable connect. It's 28 million cable connections usually, 10, 15, 20 milliseconds. Starlink at 28 milliseconds latency, and he's not at, 600 average or so. That's, Starlink, you can do phone calls, video meetings, anything you want. It's normal, real internet. So I'm not even sure how HughesNet is in business still, but they are.
Okay. They almost make their own box. All everything from a chip, from a wire, from everything. That's what they used to do. That's why, and they were backed up by GM, by the way. But when the AT&T took over, they split out.
Well, that almost sounds like you're talking about the Hughes Corporation in general, which covered a lot more things than just their internet.
service, but yeah, I don't know.
You know what? Their box to me, it was not worth it. I had a guy every month. I had to drive all the way to, downriver to change his board. He burned about 4 or 5 boards. I don't know how. And that was a huge board. He burned them every time. He called me, and I called him. I said, hey, this guy got a real problem. It's 4 or 5 boards. It's burned. He said, well, just bring them back, send them back to us. We'll give you your money. I said, okay, no problem.
Hughes Corporation. That's the group that said, that sang, Don't Rock the Boat, Baby, from the 70s, the Hughes Corporation.
Well, how's Eric tonight?
I don't know. Got a new radio. About the same as the other radio. Different case. But it was cheap. And I can't resist. So, anywho. No, I just thought I'd throw a silly comment in there. Because that was the name of the band, Hughes Corporation.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Well, your radio sounds good anyway. Sounds perfect.
Yep. This is WEAP. Well, the thing is, you got to go inside the radio and find the little pots, and you turn them all to the right, a quarter turn. That's how you get it to sound better.
That sounds like general advice. I don't know if I want to crack open my radio. What about you, Jack? You want to crack open your radio?
Jack, tell him the truth. Tell him I know what I'm talking about. I did all your radios.
Well, Ken, I'll be honest with you. He did all my radios, and they all A1. And I give him a hell of a credit for that. Honest to God.
Even your beloved DB20G?
Especially the DB20G. That thing is so loud, everyone called me up complaining. What'd you do to Jack's radio, man? It's like super loud.
That's true. That is true. Exactly what you said.
Jack's always the most booming voice on the radio, that's for sure.
Well, that advice I gave you, if you're in Australia, then you turn the little pots a quarter turn to the left. You know how like water whirlpools and like when you flush the toilet, the water swirls in the opposite direction in Australia. So you got to turn the pot quarter turn the other way.
Yeah, that's true. I was in New Zealand and the toilets flushed to the opposite direction.
You told me you had to flush the water there?
You don't have to do anything different, but you flush the toilet and it swirls the opposite direction.
That's how you gotta do the radio?
Yeah. Yeah, everything goes in the opposite direction. So instead of turning a quarter turn to the right, turn a quarter turn to the left.
Because it's made in China.
Okay.
So here's something funny, Jack. I got a new radio, UV 26. And when I opened the box, it had the stock antenna said Radtel on it. And the two extra antennas that came with it were a Brie. And it came with a TID radio warranty card. All in the same box. I don't know, man. I think they're all the same company. One giant company. One giant factory.
How many watts is that? Is that like 10 watts or 15?
Yeah, it's basically like the 5RM, but it's a little bit smaller and it's a little more rounded. And, yeah, it's 10 watts. It was on sale for really cheap. Came with three antennas and the charging base and everything. But I'm pretty sure it's like a 5RM for the most part because there's no software for it. On the listing, it just said use 5RM software on Chirp or, you know, the stock Bolthang CPS. So I did. I just dumped my files from my 5RM into it, and it worked just fine. So it's very similar to a 5RM, but the case is different. Like I said, it's a little bit thinner and smaller and rounded. It kind of looks like a TID radio H8. If you know what a TID radio H8 looks like, this thing looks just like it.
Had a big screen or a small screen?
Yeah, it's the same as the 5RM, same exact screen. Same exact screen as the UV25 as well and the UV22. It was like UV22, 25, 5RM, K5 Plus, the Bolthang version of the K5 Plus. So they all have the same display, you know, nice displays on them.
It has that VFO button, the orange button on top too?
No, but it's got separate VFO buttons, separate A to B buttons, separate menu buttons, separate frequency copy button. So, like I said, I think it's pretty much a 5RM, but it's in a smaller case, a little bit thinner case. But I don't know what the wattage is yet because I haven't charged it up yet fully. It's supposed to be 10 watts.
Well, I don't know until you, maybe you can send me a picture because I like the one that's got a VFO on top because you know what? You can program it on the computer and you can program it on your hand. I have that, the 5R. It has 1, 2, 3, 4. It has four different frequencies you can store.
It has 999 memories, but yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. Anyway, I'm going to go watch some TV. Just thought I'd jump in there and say hello.
Hey, good talking to you. Take care. AFA, DRC.
Need Eric to soup up my Whoops and Ocean radio. Let's see if that's possible.
Oh, yeah, the Wuxin, the $99 Bolthang, or is it the $120 Bolthang? But, yeah. Yeah, they're okay. You know, teach their own, you know, some people want to spend a little more, some people want to spend less, some people want to spend a lot more, get a Motorola or something. But, yeah, we'll be out there later, man. So you guys have a good one. WADAP.
For the rest of your evening there, Mr. Ertz. Jack, you still out there? KFA, be well.
Hey, Tom is still here. Go ahead, Ken. So you having a good time right now with the cigar on?
Yeah, that's right. That's the right terminology. The cigar is on.
I can see almost half gone. Roger.
It's about a third gone. I think I got two-thirds left on this one.
Well, I see. By the way, I guess maybe I might... How is the gas, by the way, today?
Oh, we still have them separated. We're going to need to keep them separated for like probably a week or two here. And then we'll slowly start reintroducing them. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Something triggered one or the other, and they were just, man, wow. War! Holy cow. You've never seen war like that. Yeah, they're separated.
Did you work on anything today on your tractor?
Tractor's fixed. Cylinder's not leaking anymore. We're all good. And now I moved back to my trailer where I need to still fix one of the wiring things on it, but that'll be a pretty quick fix. Then I need to get to my other car, which has a anti-lock brake problem. I need to address that. And I need to swap all my winter tires off for summer tires on my wife's car and my car. All kinds of things to do.
There's no end to it. I know what you're saying. You do this and do that, do this, do that. That's always like that. There's no end to it. You know, like you go in from one place to another, and you think you're finished, but you're not finished yet. And that's how it's been going, really.
Yeah, I could really do without this constant powers on, powers off, internet's on, internet's off. Because there's no cell signal here, so with no internet, there's nothing. I had to drive to town to do some work. It's kind of no fun. Your internet's still off.
Yeah, you won't be able to do a lot of things, really. You know what I mean? Without the internet. It really helps when you got internet. I mean, even here, it's the same thing. I couldn't do without internet at all, you know. TV take internet, and I got a box that's got a 16,000 channels to take internet, and the cell phone takes internet. Every time you look on something, it goes on the internet.
Not just that, I guess I didn't realize how much I actually rely on it for day-to-day. Like, I'm trying to fix something on a car, and I run into a little issue, and I'm like, oh, somebody will have a YouTube video about that one. Let's go and watch a YouTube video about that one and see what they did to address that. And, yeah, like, well, I'm going to figure this one out on my own. I got no YouTube.
Yeah, without YouTube, you can't do too much, really. Because everything you're going to need today, really, I don't know why it turned like that. You know, 20 years ago, it was not like that. They didn't put too many things on YouTube. But now, it's like a lot of stuff they put on YouTube.
Well, I mean, years ago when I worked on cars, you know, you go by the Chilton's manual for the car that you had or whatever, and that was great. That was, you know, it was expensive at the time, you know, in the 80s, like $30 for the Chilton's manual for any particular vehicle type. And it was good. It's good to have. Great reference, but Yeah, I mean, today, you can look up your exact car, your exact model, your exact problem. Like, how, you know, I got a bolt that won't come loose on a 2005 Buick LeSabre or whatever, and somebody will have a video on how they did that and got around it, and it's like, man, it's just a great reference.
Yeah, I believe that. Just like that guy, you know, he was on the Instagram every day, and he had that WD-40, and you should see. Put WD-40 on your window. You don't see no mosquito. Clean your WD-40. WD-40 was all over.
Really? WD-40 on a window? I don't think I've heard this story.
Yeah, I mean, he said put it on the window and around the frame and wipe it off. You would not see no mosquito coming to that place at all.
Really? Well, I'll have to try that one. I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Yeah, you'll see it. I don't know that guy's name, but he always, I haven't seen him in a long time. I haven't seen him all this year yet, but he was, last year, it was all over. He had about 12 different kind of WD-40, one for the house, one for this and one for that, one open up the you know, those big log nuts. It opens them up if they rest out. He'll tell you how to do it and everything. The guy lives in Florida, and he's got a, you know, he's got a pickup truck.
WD-40 kind of stinks. I don't know if I'd want to spray it all around my house.
Well, you're right. I haven't done that. And I went over, my sister lives on the lake, a gas lake, and I told her, I said, the best thing to do if you don't want no mosquito coming, put a WD-40 around the window and on the window and wipe it off. Wipe off the window. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's that's gross, she said.
Yeah, I think if my wife saw me spraying WD-40 around the windows, I think she would not like that.
You know what? Yeah, I haven't done it, but you know what? I bought WD-40 for the, you know, for the garage door. I've done it, and it really, it didn't make no noise at all. I sprayed it right on the, he said every year that's what he should do. The WD-40 sprayed on the spring door, that way it doesn't squeeze. It doesn't squeal, he said. It doesn't make no noise at all. And I did that. And every winter he's supposed to do that. And he said because the reason why, you know, the spring, it would not break. I don't know how true that is.
I usually use silicone spray for stuff like that because WD-40 is good for a lot of stuff, but it's usually pretty short-lived because it's water-based. And water freezes, and it has problems like that. So I usually use a silicone spray for stuff like that. That's just me.
One day, you'll laugh at this one. One day he said, if you're painting, and you need to get a drop of paint on your clothes, and that clothes is very important to you, get WD-40, spray it and all that, and put it in a washing machine. You'll see it comes out.
That one I've heard before. I have heard that one before. And I don't think I've ever tried it, but I've heard that one before.
I don't want no spray comes on my clothes. Not no WD-40. Those things come on my clothes. This is KFH-DRC.
Well, you see, I think the object was to spray it on and then throw it right into the washer right away so it won't linger around.
But all that machine, when you're running hot water and all that machine, it probably smells.
I don't think you need a douse it or anything in WD-40. You just give it a little spray like you would like any other kind of stain remover. But I've heard that one before.
Yeah, but I don't know what happened to him. He doesn't come on the Instagram anymore.
Instagram, what's that?
So come on then. Instagram 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, that was a joke. I don't do Instagram. I've never looked at it ever. I do Facebook Marketplace. I have LinkedIn. And that's it. That's my extent of social media.
You know, sometime I look at that one. I never looked at what is that? Tic Tac. That is pain in the neck. I don't like that at all.
Again, I didn't catch that one.
Tic Tac app. I don't like it at all.
TikTok, not Tic Tac. TikTok. I think you're talking about TikTok.
Some people go to TikTok. I don't know. I just hear from people, but I never like it at all. I put it one time, then they used to put it, and I took it off.
Yeah, I don't look at that one either. You know, your signal's kind of fading, Jack. I don't know if your radio's getting tired or you walked away and did something. You're still perfectly audible, but it seems to be kind of fading out.
How about now? Is now any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
I have to move half the couch. That's why, because I'm sitting in the living room with a handheld 8-watt radio.
The handheld, yep. Well, that works where you're at.
I think that TYT, the 390, it works better too when I'm sitting here. It works a lot better because that one is only 10 watts.
I hear you. Well, I think I'm going to pack it in here, Jack. Good talking with you again, as always. And this is KFA KYL. I'll be clear on your final, 73.
Okay, Ken, good talking to you, and good to hear from you. We'll talk again tomorrow. KFH-DRC, clear. NAWJG. KFH-DRC, copy. KFH-DRC, clear.
there, Wally. Is that you saying you were going to download some satellite images from SpaceX last night? 88 WBO?